there, and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Giorgiani, and this is your show, Take Two, with Jerry and Debbie and you. Well, but today, normally you call in, right? Yes, you do. For 9.5 years, you have done just that. But today, we're going to ask you to sit back and listen and learn, because we have a very big and wonderful special treat for you today. We have a guest. That's right. You know, and Take Two, we don't have guests very often. So this is a pre-recorded broadcast just for you with a wonderful guest. You know him and love him. You love his show. We hear it all the time. So Father Robert McTague is with us from the Society of Jesus, and he is going to spend the entire hour answering your questions that came in from the mailbag. And so we're so thrilled to have Father McTague with us. But now here's how it's going to work. You're going to listen. And then after the show, if you got something out of it, maybe you'll pick up one of his books or two of his books and pass on this show to your friends, okay? So that your friends can learn and grow as well. So you get the picture, Take Two family. This is a special treat today with our wonderful guest, Father Robert McTague, and I want to properly introduce him. So Father is a member of the Eastern Province of the Society of Jesus, a professor of philosophy and theology. He is now host and producer of The Catholic Current through the Station of the Cross Catholic Media Network and the iCatholic radio app. By the way, the iCatholic radio app is very popular. Father McTague has published several books, and his hundreds of articles can be found in print and online. You can find all of Father's work at his website, heraldofthegospel.org. And also, some of his books are available at ewtnrc.com. Okay, without further ado, our special guest, Father Robert McTague. We're so glad you're with us, Father.
Hey, Debbie, good to be working with you. Thank you so much for your hospitality.
This is just, I'll tell you, this is such a treat for our listeners, because we hear all the time for many years when you started the Catholic Current, our listeners would say, when are you going to have Father McTague on? And you're just so busy. I mean, you have incredible guests on your show, and it sounds like you're really enjoying that production. Am I right?
You know, it's been an amazing ride. We're in our seventh season. And, you know, Debbie, I never thought I'd be doing this kind of work. I grew up as a very shy kid with a speech impediment. I never thought I'd be in public, either at the podium as a professor or in the pulpit as a priest. And now in the microphone as a broadcaster, and God help us, even in a camera sometimes. But I meet amazing people. People become great friends. I've learned a lot. But what's most important for me is I point to Christ. I point to Christ. And broadcasting has given me a very big platform to point to Christ. And that's what my life is about, to point to Christ and then get out of the way.
To point to Christ and then get out of the way. Wow, that's amazing. Well, you know, Father, I said that we've got a very big surprise and big treat, and I use the word big on purpose, because you mentioned, it's mentioned in your bio about your show being on the iCatholic radio app and through produced by the Station of the Cross. I understand, right? Father, your program is downloaded quite a bit by listeners all over the world, Father.
It's an amazing thing. If you can find audio, you can find us. We're on podcast platforms that I haven't heard from. We have listeners almost in every country of the world, as I look at our tracking information. And I think it's because people want the truth. I began this work in the hopes of restoring the lost art of intelligent conversation. We don't do short attention span theater. And I bring my experience as a professor, as a Jesuit, as a spiritual director, and I engage with really smart and really interesting people. So if we want to get away from the noise and you want to get access to the truth that you can enjoy, remember, and act upon, then I think the Catholic Current's a good fit for you.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So our guest today is Father Robert McTague of the Society of Jesus. He's the host of the Catholic Current, and you sent in the Take Two family, you sent in emails with questions attached. And so we thought we would do this pre-recorded edition of Take Two for you, so you can maybe hear if your question is answered. And Father has graciously agreed to address so many of the questions. We're not going to get to all of them today. In this episode, maybe if Father has a good experience here on Take Two, he'll come back and visit us again. But Father, are you ready to start tackling some of the Take Two audience, their questions?
Let's do it. Yeah.
Okay. So the first one is, Father, what is the best way to evangelize in our families and in the world?
There's no substitute for good example. You know, Debbie, a lot of studies have shown that one of the best predictors for children of a family to keep the faith and practice the faith as the adults is watching their fathers practice the faith. There's just something about paternal leadership that is very significant in religious experience. This shouldn't surprise us because it's biblical, of course. But both parents need to be seen going to confession regularly, going to Mass every Sunday and Holy Day, marking the liturgical seasons and having an Advent calendar celebrating the great Holy Days. Kids need to see parents studying the scriptures, praying the rosary together as a family. I know that's a challenge when you've got small kids, but baby steps, one step at a time. Now, sadly, I'm sure you've heard this innumerable times. A lot of people are suffering heartbreak because their kids have drifted from the faith for a variety of reasons. And they may have gotten to the point where anything they say or anything they do might just make things worse, humanly speaking. And that's where you have to be really militant in your prayer. Have masses said for your family. Pray the rosary for your family every day. Fast for your family. But there's no substitute for planting the good seeds early on and then going from there.
Father, you said something about fasting, and we talk a lot about fasting on Take Two. Can you speak a little bit more about that when we come back from the break? About does it always have to be fasting from food? Because we always tell people it doesn't have to be fasting from food. It could be fasting from social media or something of that nature.
But you hear we can pick that up.
Okay, yeah. Sounds great. Our guest today on this pre-recorded broadcast of Take Two is Father Robert McTague of the Society of Jesus. He's the host and producer of The Catholic Current, a very popular show. We'll be right back. Know it's a very rare occasion that we have a guest on Take Two, because Take Two is all about bringing the laity together with a worldwide platform, and you are the teachers and your calls drive the show. But every once in a while, because of holidays and other schedule situations, we are able to have a guest. And you requested for many years Father Robert McTague, and he is with us. He's super busy. Everybody wants to know what he's doing and what he's writing and all those kinds of things, because he's pretty much everywhere. If you go on online or on social media, you'll find an article or something that Father Robert McTague has written. Well, he's with us the entire hour answering your questions from the Take Two mailbag. So this is a very exciting hour, pre-recorded broadcast. So please make sure you share it with your friends when you're done listening. Okay. Before we get back to our great conversation with Father McTague, let me just share with our listeners, you can get the EWTN app. Carry EWTN with you everywhere when you download the free EWTN app. You can enjoy EWTN live TV and radio streams, audio and video on demand, EWTN news, program schedules, prayers, and devotionals. Download the EWTN app at EWTNapps.com. So, Father McTague, about fasting, could you share with us, before the break, I was asking you, does it have to be from food? We're always telling folks it doesn't have to be just about food.
That's true. I think if we understand the why, then the how and the what becomes more clear. We fast, or we practice self-denial, first of all, for the sake of self-knowledge. You know, does anything other than God have power over me? Is there something where I'm gripping it so tightly and it's gripping me back. It's good to find out what that is. So for a lot of people, stepping back from social media, whether it's food or drink or particular activity, is to say, I want to create an empty space for God to work. I want to create a gap so that I can let God move in and take over and direct me. Because, Debbie, as you know, we live in a context where there is an infinite amount of distractions. Mm-hmm. And even if you're looking at something as harmless as cat videos or as edifying as Fulton Sheen videos, if you spend too much time with it, that's a failure. It can become a trap. So also, when people are struggling spiritually, St. Ignatius Loyola encourages them to undertake a small penance. It could be something as simple as not putting sugar in your coffee this morning. And the reason we do that is we take that one simple act to say, I am not powerless. I can make one small act of defiance against the temptation, against the discouragement. And that helps us to bolster up and say, hey, I don't have to roll over. So, you know, I was talking to a sister once who belonged to a very, very strict traditional community, and they start fasting for Easter on the Feast of the Triumph of the Cross, which is September 14th. And I said, well, then what do you do when Ash Wednesday comes? Right. And she said, well, they do something called the Black Fast, which is a Byzantine fast, which is very extreme. And I said, what's that like? And she said, well, you know, you're kind of dizzy for the first few days and then you get used to it. And I said to myself, I have to operate heavy machinery and broadcast every day. I can't afford to be dizzy, but that doesn't mean I can't make sacrifices myself. It doesn't mean I can't challenge myself to let something go for the greater love of God.
Wow. You know, it's a shame, because I think that I hope that our listeners listen to your words, Father, and bring it into their families, because I think things can be healed and changed when fasting is added. So that was huge, what Sure. you just shared with our audience. Okay, Father, ready for the next question? Okay.
Let's do it. Yeah.
All righty. Now this is interesting, Father. This came in from Michael, and he said, where were you, Father, most spiritual? He wants to know the location where you can say, quote, I was allowed to come closer, unquote, there more than any other time before or since. So he wants to know the location. Where were you the most spiritual?
I'm going to give two locations. The first is in June 14th, 1997, in the chapel of then Loyola College, now Loyola University in Baltimore, Maryland. How oddly specific. Well, yes, it was my ordination. And when Cardinal Keeler, God rest his soul, put his hands on my head to ordain me, I felt like I was hit by lightning. Oh. That's the only way to describe it. It was shattering. It was life altering. And I beat my breast as I say it, because you would think after an experience like that, it would be easy to become and remain a saint. I'm a struggling sinner still. More recently, this is going back a few years, I was privileged to offer a mass in Thanksgiving on my 20th anniversary of ordination at the Carmelite Chapel in Buffalo, New York. And it was a Misa Cantata in the old rite, and the sisters were intoning the introit so beautifully that the two adult servers and I were weeping and couldn't speak at the foot of the altar. Mm-hmm. And I said, guys, we got to pull it together, because they're going to run out of chants soon and we got to get mass started. Right. And I can say that at the elevation of the host, I felt like that veil between heaven and earth parted a little bit, and I got a little vision, a little touch, a little taste of the other side. And I found myself saying, Lord, if you want to kill me now, I think this may be a good time, because I don't think it's going to get better than this. So those are two things that were connected directly to my priesthood. And again, this is a gift. These are gifts I did not deserve. I want to be better stewards of my gifts. I struggle as a sinner. I need a lot of prayer. But to God be the glory. He gave me these amazing gifts.
As you were speaking, Father, and sharing those two very special moments in your life, I could feel the Holy Spirit. I almost burst into tears. That's how much it was so, I could feel what you were saying. And I just, so that has really impacted you.
Yes. Yeah. It's left a mark on me. As I said, I want to be a good steward of those graces.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Great question from Michael that came in. Okay, this one came in from Kathy from New York. And Kathy says, Father McTague, I look forward to all your shows. We all do. Can you share your thoughts on Marian apparitions and how much should we rely on the messages?
Oh boy, that's an important question, especially in light of recent events. Now, Marian apparitions are considered private revelation. They don't bind our conscience. They don't require the obedience of intellect and will the way that public revelation, which is sacred scripture and sacred tradition, do. And the church in times past, and of course the church is extremely appropriately careful and cautious when someone claims to have had a vision or miraculous experience. The church is rightly very skeptical and cautious. And there are some events that have been identified as worthy of belief. And we think of the most familiar, Guadalupe, La Salette, Fatima, for example. Now, recently, there has been kind of a change in the rule book, according to the Dicastery of the Doctrine of the Faith. And this is something that Father Gerald Murray and I have talked about often. You know, I tell Father Mary, who's a canon lawyer, I said, I've studied just enough canon law to know for sure I'm not a canon lawyer. So I speak cautiously and modestly about these things. But the way the rules are now, it seems for the present, the most the church is willing to say is that there's nothing about this apparition that's a deal breaker. Nothing that would say you have to walk away. That's not exactly ringing an endorsement. And it's also not necessarily saying that it's worthy of belief. So I would say stick with what the church has been living with for centuries. So for me, the most significant Marian apparitions are Guadalupe and La Salette and Fatima. And if we immerse ourselves in that wisdom, if we immerse ourselves on Our Lady's call to repentance and conversion, I think we would do very well indeed. Mm.
Well stated, Father McTague. We've got you for the entire hour. We are so grateful that you carved out some time for the Take Two family. Thank you so very much. More questions from the mailbag from our Take Two audience, and we just so appreciate you giving us these responses, because I think you're really helping a lot of folks. The interesting thing about Take Two, I know you're super busy, so you probably don't get to listen to Take Two very often, but it's just a beautiful way for the lay faithful to come together. And the one thing that I can tell you after 9.5 years of doing this show, Father, is that our Take Two family is hungry for the truth. They want the truth. They want it, the real raw truth. And that's so beautiful, because that means they're serious about taking on their Catholic faith and living authentic Catholic lives. So that's just wonderful. And your responses, I think, are helping all of us. So the next question, Father, comes in from Florida, from Mark. And Mark says, this is so interesting, Father. I always love these kinds of scenarios that our Take Two family poses. Father, if you were in an elevator and you only had 1 minute to share your Catholic faith with somebody in the elevator, what would you say?
I'd say, I know that you're profoundly unhappy, that you were made for something greater and almost certainly have been taught to settle for less than what you were made for. Our paradox is we're summoned to God to be with Him as saints. We burn down the bridge through our sin, and at a terrible cost to Himself, our Heavenly Father has sent His only begotten Son as the Christ, as the Redeemer, to rebuild that bridge and help us get to the other side. And we need all the helps of nature and grace to learn to live and die as saints in order to enjoy the fulfillment God always intended for us. So let's put aside the distractions, let's put aside the excuses, and certainly let's put aside the sin that we all negotiate with and come to Christ in the one church that he founded. That would be my elevator pitch.
That's a good one. Good one. So more of the questions from the mailbag, virtual mailbag that we receive from our Take Two family for Father Robert McTague. And we're so grateful. We're so grateful you made time for us, but we're grateful that you have great things for us to read after the show, Father. And our listeners can find your articles and your books all at heraldofthegospel.org, correct?
And my sermons as well. I've got several hundred sermons there, hundreds of articles, interviews on other platforms. It's pretty much all there.
Okay. So with all this busy work that you've got, that you're doing for us, and we are truly grateful to you, Father. This is what Mary wants to know from Boston. Father, what do you do in your spare time? Do you even have spare time?
Well, yeah, I actually do. I actually do have spare time. The spare time is usually targeted for something useful. I love to read. I do a lot of reading for interviews. Authors like when I interview them because I actually read the book. And I know as an author myself who's been interviewed, reading the book beforehand, unfortunately, is not the industry standard. So I like reading very much. I enjoy strategic board games, especially chess and Asian board games like Go and Shang-Chi. Mm-hmm. And I am fascinated with fountain pens, utterly fascinated with. I wrote my last book with fountain pens. I'm working on my current book with fountain pens. The intersection of ink and pens and stationery, I just love it. You put a fountain pen in my hand and I can just write all day. It's been really wonderful for my productivity. And of course, I also enjoy company with friends. When I'm with friends, I like to access my inner Italian grandfather and have a big meal with people. A conversation around the table is something that I enjoy very, very much.
How did you get the love of fountain pens? Were you introduced to them when you were a young age or something?
No, it's a funny thing. I'm left-handed, and I've always had terrible handwriting. Part of it was because I'm left-handed, and part of it is because people don't know how to teach left-handed people. And I just resigned myself to that. And then about 7 or 8 years ago, I saw a video that said, you know, there's a myth that if you're left-handed, you absolutely cannot use fountain pens because you just have a hydrant of ink all over you. And it turns out that's not true. And if you rethink how you write, you can actually have your handwriting improve and find writing with a fountain pen to be a very enjoyable experience. I have been to fountain pen shows. I've spent countless hours watching fountain pen videos. There's a fascinating history with letter writing. I want to restore the lost art of intelligent conversation on the air. I want to restore the lost art of letter writing also. And fountain pens have been a great help for me.
Yeah. Wow. That is fascinating. So our guest for this pre-recorded broadcast of Take Two is Father Robert McTague of the Society of Jesus. And he is the host and producer of The Catholic Current, a very popular program. And you guys know it and love it and trust it. And so you sent in questions for Father Robert McTague, and he is willing to answer them. I'm representing the Take Two family with your questions. So you hear the music, Father. When we come back, we'll have a little bit of a longer segment to handle about the last half a dozen questions. And it's just a wonderful broadcast that you can share with your friends, folks. So keep listening. We'll be right back. We're so glad that you are tuned in and you're staying the entire hour with us on this just extraordinary pre-recorded broadcast. Thank you to Charles Beery, our producer, putting it together. We're so grateful to him, but we're grateful to our guest, Father Robert McTague of the Society of Jesus, who's with us the entire hour answering your questions. So hopefully your question will get answered. I'm trying to mention the names. If you didn't leave a name or you wanted to be anonymous, I left that off. But if you gave your first name and the city that you are calling from or sending your comment in from, I will announce that. So we'll get back to the questions, Father. I think your answers are just perfect for our Take Two family. I know they will love it and appreciate it very, very much and share it with friends and family. But Father, if you are ready, if we can move to the next question, that would be okay. So Father, how do you feel about the state of the church today? And this is from Martin from Nevada.
Oh, that's a very, very big question. You know, one of my favorite chastity speakers is Pam Stenzel. She talks about marriage and says, you know, the biggest problem in her marriage is that she's in it. You know, so when I think about the state of the church today, I said, I'm in it and I'm a sinner. So pray for me, because whatever's wrong with the church, I'm part of that. So I need intercession that way. I think we're in a time of struggle right now. Now, some people go back and forth. Is this the worst thing since whatever? You know, is it Martin Luther or the Arian heresy? I don't know that that kind of discussion is very fruitful. We are certainly objectively speaking in real trouble. In the West in general, the United States in particular, the church hadn't been doing very well demographically, financially, reputationally. The COVID interruption did not help with any of that. And this is where McTague's axiom comes in, which I reference in my book on philosophy, The Philosophy of Real People. McTague's axiom states, most institutions would rather die than admit that anyone ever made a mistake. Mm. So, you know, church attendance is off, church practice is off. In the West, you know, baptisms, marriages are off. There are dioceses who don't get vocations. And so we all know that bad news. There's nothing new there. But there's not a lot of serious conversation as to how we got there. I remember a couple of years ago, there was a bishop of a prominent diocese who was told that mass attendance had dropped by 40% in 10 years. And his response was, I guess we need better music, by which he meant entertaining music. We're not here to entertain. I like to quote a Protestant theologian named A.W. Tozer, said something amazing in the 1950s. He said, congregations unwilling to worship will demand to be entertained, and pastors who aren't able to call people to worship will provide the entertainment. And sadly, I think that's where we are. And again, speaking as a sinner, we all need to have our come to Jesus moment. The great treasures of the church have been entrusted to us in our own here and now. Have we been consistently good stewards of the treasures of the church? And I think the short answer is no. So let's all go to confession. Let's all have a serious examination of conscience and then say, what are the treasures of the church that made saints for generations and centuries and millennia, and plant them in the soil of the here and now? And that's something that I talk about in my book on Christendom.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. So this is getting heavy now, but let's stay with the church, Father. Yes, we have another, comment and question coming in for you, Father. My children left the church, Father. What should I do as a parent?
And Debbie, you and I in media every day, multiple times a day, we hear that. The heartache, the heartbreak, people did the best they could. They did what they thought was right. And, you know, sometimes you do everything right and people have free will. So, again, a lot depends on the relationship you have with the kids. A lot depends on how old the kids are, et cetera, et cetera. The two things that you have to do always is good example and intercession. Most often, in my experience, Debbie, people don't leave the church because of some profound theological issue. They don't. I just don't see the scriptural basis for purgatory. No, almost nobody says anything like that. It's either because they've gotten bad example, and sadly, you know, there's a lot of it going around, and I beat my breast as a sinner. Or we had people who never received the salt and light that they needed growing up in the faith. You know, mom and dad might have done everything right, but then they took their kids to the local parish, which I call St. Typicals, and saw all the other adults as screw-ups at Mass. You know, you try to get there early, you dress properly, you catechize your kids, and then you see adults wearing SpongeBob SquarePants t-shirts arriving at Mass late, leaving early, and being irreverent. And Father Cheerful preaches banally, and their kids start to draw conclusions from what they've seen. And that's not really the parents' fault. So good example, number one. And the number two is militant intercession. And then this is where prudence comes in. Number three, try to have a conversation, but have a conversation that's exploratory. Tell me about why you either marched out or drifted away. How did you come to that conclusion? What do you miss? What would it take for you to come back? Most of those people who've left the church have never been asked those questions. So I said the three things is a good example, intercession, and conversation.
Powerful information you're sharing with us parents and grandparents. I'll tell you, this is really, and that's why I say to our Take Two family, if you're getting something out of this pre-recorded broadcast, please make good use of social media and share it with your friends and family members. Because what Father Robert McTague is saying is golden for all of us as parents and grandparents right now. Thank you, Father, for stating it so clearly for us. So Martin's question from Nevada that came in about the state of the church and then about our children. I've got a question, Father, just along those same lines, and maybe you could just share a little bit pastorally for all of us. So many of us as parents and grandparents, our hearts are aching, and we're doing a lot of the things that you're saying, but our hearts really hurt. I mean, they on a regular basis, they hurt. What can you say to us as parents and grandparents, like, how do we relieve that?
Well, you know, we're not orphans. As members of the body of Christ, we are in union with the communion of saints. So I recommend to people very often taking on Saint Monica as a prayer partner, who had a very wayward son who became Saint Augustine and also had a very difficult marriage. Also, if I remember correctly, I think her husband, who was pagan at first, eventually came around, mm-hmm. but she had a difficult marriage and she had a very wayward son. She'll be a very good prayer companion. You know, we think of Our Lady of Sorrows as well. You know, St. John Vianney said, Our Lady won't finally be at rest till after the final judgment, because then all of her work will be done. Until then, she'll be working very hard to pull us along into the happiness of heaven. And it really is okay to grieve, to be disappointed. I mean, I've had parents say, you know, we went broke sending our kids to very expensive Catholic schools.
True.
You know, mm-hmm. word of caution, especially if you have younger children, just because the school has the word Catholic on the sign on the front lawn, you got to do your due diligence, because some schools really are Catholics and some are simply self-described Catholic, and there's no substitute for your due diligence.
Mm-hmm. So, Father, staying with the family, you talked earlier when you answered one of the questions about the importance of fathers and to really, you know, have that yes. influence. I want to just stay with that for a moment with this question that came in. What advice, Father, can you give to canceled fathers in the family? My kids don't really acknowledge me any longer. Wow.
Oh, that's tough. And I know fathers who've been through things like that, where they said, father says, as the dad, I'm just the ATM. Mm-hmm. I'm the complaint department, and I'm the guy who dispenses cash, and nobody wants to hear from me. And that's got to be heartbreaking as a father. And I've seen that in the lives of very dear friends who are good men. And I can go on about fatherhood. And I think there are women who are wives and mothers who don't appreciate the necessity and the challenge of being a good father, and they don't support their men in the way that they need to. That's another topic for another time. Again, a lot depends on how old the kids are, the kind of relationship you've had with them, the kind of relationship that you had with or have with your wife. All those are very, very important variables. I don't know his particular case, so I'm just going to speak generally. Again, it's a good example, intercession, and then if you can, conversation. Debbie, we live in a very, very sick culture. You know, Anthony Eslin, who's a great scholar, and I admire him tremendously, he said, we have to stop talking about evangelizing the culture. We don't have a culture. We live in a sewer, and we need to get out of the sewer first. And a whole lot of what passes for culture poisons children against men in general and fathers in particular. And we have to be very candid about that. And we have to admit that the church really does have a wisdom for women and men and marriage and family and husbands and fathers. And because so much of that is so politically incorrect, we are disinclined to talk about it from the pulpit. And we don't admit that a lot of our self-identified Catholic schools undercut the church's teaching, especially in the area of higher education.
So, Father, you and I are in the same age range. I'm going to be 59, and I have to tell you that this whole even the question that came in from this father calling it canceled fathers, this whole cancel culture, this whole cancel everything. I never even heard of this growing up, and it's so odd to me. Do you have any idea where this all came from?
Well, a lot of it is. I'm inclined to be a professor, but I'll try to speak as a pastor. A lot of it has to do with critical theory from Marxism. A lot of ideas came from scholars from Europe to the United States in the 1920s. But there's an orientation towards the destruction of family. Family and communities get in the way of tyrants. And so family and the church has to be destroyed. If you're a tyrant of any kind, especially if you are a Marxist tyrant. And candidly, one of the things that destroys family and church relationship is the worst kinds of secular feminism. When I went to school in the 1980s in Washington, D.C., there were a lot of young women wearing a T-shirt and had kind of a Dr. Seuss illustration. And it said, a woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle. Well, 40 years later, how's that working out for you?
Yeah.
We have inculcated the idea that men are expendable, that they're dispensable. I mean, I remember hearing stand-up comics say, well, if we can send a man to the moon, why can't we send all of them? Right, and everyone would clap. Or, you know, or I've heard women say, again, women comedians, not all men are bad. Some of them are dead. And everybody claps. But, you know, when it comes to wrestling the bad guy to the ground, when it comes to putting out a fire, when it comes to restoring electricity after a hurricane, it's big men with mustaches and dirt on their hands who get the job done. So one of the things we have to admit is that for at least 40 years, probably closer to 60 years, we've been doing a terrible, terrible disservice to men and boys. And all this nonsense of toxic masculinity, if masculinity were naturally toxic, wouldn't that mean that boys growing up without fathers do better than anybody else? But the greatest predictor for social maladies of every kind, regardless of race, education, or social strata or finances, the greatest predictor of social malady is growing up without a father in the home. Wow. We need to come to terms with that as a society and as Catholic communities, and we're still not ready to do that, sadly.
Yeah. Powerful words we're hearing from Father Robert McTague, our guest on Take Two. We're going to finish with the final two questions after I have this brief announcement for our listeners. But Father, that's why when you were speaking, I think of the Knights of Columbus. You know, they're just so wonderful. They're the first ones into any situation, and they're so quiet. They're those quiet heroes, but they're going in there trying to help. And they're all, it's all men, right? Knights of Columbus. And it's so true that we need to honor that, and we've lost that. And that's, yeah, that's very unfortunate for us. I don't think it serves us well at all. But Father, for our listeners, we wanted, to remind them that they can join us for Bible in a Year, Catechism in a Year, tonight and every night at 10 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. Father Mike Schmitz guides you through the entire Bible and the Catechism of the Catholic Church in 365 episodes. If you've ever wanted to understand what it means to be Catholic and allow those truths to shape your life, this is for you. It's a very popular series, A Catechism and the Bible in a Year, Father. So the final two questions, Father, we're gonna change the tone here a little bit and kind of give some tips for our listeners, because they always want to continue the conversation. That's one thing about the Take Two family. They love to you start the conversation, they continue it. So they want to learn and grow. So Father, here's the next question. It starts off like this. I love this. Father, other than your great books, what do you recommend for the laity to read? And this comes in from Steve in LA.
Well, two authors come to mind immediately. They're both prolific. Joseph Pieper, P-I-E-P-E-R. A lot of his, very, very many of his books come through Ignatius Press, and I'm sure are available at EWTN. He has a gift for taking 500 pages of high-level wisdom and putting it in 100 pages that are absolutely clear. So Joseph Pieper is my go-to guy for nearly everything. The range of things that he's talked about, I've been reading his books for 40 years. So more than 40 years now. And the other is a friend of the Catholic Current, a scholar I respect very, very much, is Dr. Peter Kwasniewski. He's a theologian, a liturgist, a musician. It seems every other day he's got another book out. And then in between his books, he's spoken at five different conferences and has another YouTube video and a Substack. But if you want access to the church's wisdom about worship and music in particular, I can't think of a better or more accessible author. Whenever he's got a new article out, whenever he's got a new video out, I drop everything and run to it, and I take notes because I learn so much. And if you want to experience the thrill of being a Catholic who's received a magnificent tradition of music and art and prayer, Dr. Kwasniewski is an excellent guide.
Fabulous. And if you want Father's books, you can find some of them at EWTNRC.com. So please go there. Or you can find all of Father's products and materials at heraldofthegospel.org. That's O-R-G. So please make sure you check out all of Father's work. And the sermons there as well are fabulous. Father, real quickly, are you in the process of writing another book, or where are you at in your writing?
Yes, I am. I'm a little bit behind, I'm sorry to say, but I want to take a Jesuit approach to Lectio Divina. So I will walk you through all the liturgical seasons, and I'll have a gospel passage and a quote from one of the fathers, and then I'll just do a meditation on that. And my working title now is called Wording Our Way into Christ, that the words of the gospel and the words of the fathers can lead to our response, our speaking of words to the Word, and it becomes a conversation between our Lord and us. It's a work in progress. I probably got a couple months worth of work to do on that. I really want to push to get it done sooner rather than later.
Well, when you get it done, Father, please let Charles Berry know, our producer. We'd love to have you back because I don't know if you know. Yeah, I don't know if you know this, but the Take Two family, we love Lexio Divina. So this is going to be fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is kind of this last question. Yeah, this last question, Father, is kind of in line with that. We've got about 5 minutes left for you to answer the question, and then I want to leave room for you to have any final comments for the Take Two family. And then also, please, we love blessings from our shepherds, so if you can impart a blessing as well at the close of this pre-recorded broadcast. But this comes in from Ron, Father, and Ron says, Father, what is your favorite prayer or devotion?
The Mass, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. I have been privileged for 10 years now to offer the traditional rites of the Mass. And it is a great consolation for me to know that as I pray, I'm praying in a manner that St. Francis Xavier would have prayed in Asia, that St. Ignatius Loyola would have prayed in Rome, that St. Isaac Jogues would have prayed in North America, that Blessed Miguel Pro would have prayed in Mexico, that all the great saints would have prayed this way, and I get to do that too. That's a very great thrill for me. And then, of course, the rosary. The rosary is just absolutely indispensable. It has to be returned to every day. Debbie, you and I talked about, apparitions and so on. There's never an apparition of Our Lady that doesn't include turning to the rosary. So the rosary and Mass are indispensable. I appreciate novenas very much. Our Lady Undoer of Knots is one of my favorite novenas as well. But we have to pray every day. Our Lord didn't say pray more or pray better. He said pray always. So we have to learn to practice the presence of God and then also designate sometimes this time and this space is only for God. We need both. We need a prayer time and we need a prayer life.
So I'm a listener of the Catholic Current. I love what you do. It's so obvious to me anyway, and I think for all of your listeners, that you prepare. You give 100%. You are so spot on in every single broadcast. I just want to thank you on behalf of all of your listeners for everything you do. And it's being produced out of the Station of the Cross. There are fine folks there at the Station of the Cross. A lot of folks from the Station of the Cross call in to Take Two. And, it's just amazing what you are doing for all of us, Father. Thank you so very much for taking that time to inform us, to form us. That's huge because when people feel disconnected and they don't know where to go and they can't get to a priest, they can't even, some of the parishes are closing. This gives them a chance to really go deeper in their faith.
It's been a great privilege for me. It's been a labor of love. I have an obligation. I've been given this platform to point to Christ. I want to bring my A game every single time.
Mm-hmm. Well, you certainly do. Absolutely. And we just absolutely loved having you on Take Two. I can speak for the Take Two family because I'm going to be hearing the messages coming in after this broadcast airs. And they will tell me, oh my goodness, he is so amazing. I just know it because I know them so well. And so, thank you. And we hope that we can, have you back if you're not too busy and you can share about your newest book on Lexio Divina and also anything else you want to share with us. Oh, you're always welcome, Father, if there's something you wanted to use.
Thank
this
you very
platform.
Much.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Father, we're getting ready to close this broadcast. Again, I want to thank our producer, Charles Berry, doing a fine job organizing all this. It's hard to do these pre-recorded new content broadcasts. So I just wanted to thank our producer. But Father, in this final closing minutes, could you please give us a blessing?
Through the intercession of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, may God our Lord surround you with a legion of guardian angels with flaming swords to light your path, to protect you from all harm and every evil, to reach the happiness of heaven. May Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, or Holy Spirit. Go in peace, and please pray for me, for I am a sinner.
Thank you, Father Robert McTague of the Society of Jesus. If you want to find all of his work, you can go to heraldofthegospel.org. Thank you, kind sir. Keep up the great work. We're going to be tuning into the Catholic Current, and that'll do it for this pre-recorded broadcast. Please share it far and wide on social media. We believe that's a good use of social media. And until we meet again, have a beautiful and blessed day. We'll see you real soon.